Welcome to the Yoga Inspired Life podcast. I'm your host, Shayla Quinn, and together we'll go on a journey of self-discovery as we explore all of the inner workings of what it means to live an inspired life. Join me for solo episodes and conversations with special guests for real, authentic deep dives into all things yoga, wellness, self-love, mindfulness, and everything in between. If you're ready to get inspired, learn, grow, evolve, to connect, and up-level your life, then you've come to the right place. I am beyond excited that you're here, so let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of the Yoga Inspired Life podcast, or welcome to the podcast if you are a new listener. I am hoping that this does not come off aggressive. And I'm going to say, I'm saying this with peace and love. I have a bone to pick with yoga teachers. Maybe not all yoga teachers, but it just seems like most of the classes that I've been to in at least the last handful of years, the teachers of these classes are not creating enough space in their classes for us to have an ample amount of time in Shavasana, which I believe is the most important pose of the practice, stillness. And look, do I know every single thing there is to know about yoga? Maybe not, probably not. But I've been practicing for 16 years. I have over 700 hours of professional training. I've been teaching for 8 years. I've taught thousands of yoga classes. I've taken probably 10 times as many as I've taught. And I feel like with all of my many years of experience and practice, I can confidently say that Shavasana is one of, if not the most important part of yoga, yoga asana, the physical practice of yoga. Stillness. We need stillness. Shavasana is the time for all of the fruits of your labor over the last 60 to 90 minutes or however long your yoga practice is. All of the efforts and breath and intention that you've put in throughout your entire yoga practice to be absorbed by the body and the mind. And I know a lot of people don't like Shavasana. When I was teaching yoga full-time at Alo Yoga in Los Angeles, sold out classes, although my regular yogis that would come back to my class often learned to love and enjoy Shavasana. Any new yogis that I would have come in, or the ones that were really just looking for a workout, would try to get up and leave during Shavasana. And this to me is a really big problem because a lot of people don't want to get still. They want to stay in the distraction. They want to ignore their thoughts and feelings. They want to stay disconnected, whether they realize it or not. They want to bury their feelings and thoughts. They don't want to sit with what's happening. And I've been there. I do understand that. I understand that it can be uncomfortable, but stillness is the answer to a lot of our problems. Stillness, whether in the form of meditation, in Shavasana, a mindfulness practice, or simply being present, offers a multitude of spiritual benefits. Stillness allows the mind to quiet down, which is going to help reduce stress, anxiety, inner turmoil, chaos. It creates a space for inner peace to emerge, which fosters a sense of calmness and tranquility. Stillness can help you connect to your inner self because by being still, you are able to tap into your innermost thoughts, feelings, and connect to your intuition. Stillness facilitates self-awareness and self-discovery, which leads to a deeper understanding of yourself. Stillness creates and cultivates a heightened state of awareness, which enables you to perceive the world around you with greater clarity and depth. It just opens the door to insights and revelations that might not be accessible in a state of constant motion or distraction, you know, because when you are constantly being distracted and bombarded with thoughts and things outside of yourself, it's hard to get clarity in that space. Being still allows you to get fully present. It creates a space for spiritual connection. I think through stillness, you can discern your true purpose and align your actions with your true purpose. It provides clarity and direction. I think too, stillness allows for the processing and the release of emotions that you're holding in, which allows for emotional healing and resilience to grow. I've experienced and witnessed stillness facilitating the transcendence of ego. Stillness quiets the incessant chatter of the ego, allowing you to transcend limiting beliefs, limiting identities, and internal narratives that are negative and keeping you stuck and small. I think overall, stillness serves as a gateway to spiritual growth, offering a path towards greater wisdom, enlightenment, and compassion. And we need stillness. We need more stillness. So I don't know that it frustrates me. I was going to say it frustrates me, but it doesn't necessarily frustrate me, but it bothers me and disappoints me when I go to a yoga class and 58 minutes out of the 60 minutes are spent on movement, which don't get me wrong, I love movement. I'm so happy to move, breathe, and sweat. But when I'm only left with 1 minute, if that, of stillness, it just doesn't feel right. And I think for myself, as I mentioned, I've been practicing for so many years. I know that I have permission to stay in Shavasana longer. And so sometimes I will while the teacher closes out the class, not to be rude, but because I feel like I owe it to myself to stay in Shavasana a little longer, to soak up all the goodness a little longer. So I know that I can do that, but I think about the other people in the class that maybe haven't practiced as long or need that permission to stay longer. And maybe the teacher doesn't offer that or don't really want to stay in Shavasana, even if it's going to be good for them. And the thing that bums me out is knowing that they're missing out on that stillness because the teacher is not offering that and facilitating that. Taking a quick break from today's episode to chat to you about today's sponsor, my favorite clean, vegan, cruelty-free, seaweed-based skin and body care brand, Osea. Osea's been my go-to for, I think, going on like 7 years now, and they just came out with an incredible new body care product, the Hyaluronic Body Serum, which has quickly become a staple in my body care routine. I don't know if you know this or not, but the skin is our largest organ, and most of your skin, over 90% to be exact, is below the neck, which is why body care is just as important as skincare for your face. It's also worth noting that your body is more prone to dryness. It has fewer oil-producing sebaceous glands than the face. So it benefits from more intensive treatments like body serums, which can improve the skin's natural moisture barrier, which is why Osea has created their Hyaluronic Body Serum. Hyaluronic acid is a carbohydrate or sugar that naturally occurs in the body. And it essentially helps plump the skin by drawing in moisture and then holding onto it like a magnet. The Hyaluronic Body Serum from Osea is fragrance-free, which means there is no added fragrance or essential oil in the product. It's a silky smooth gel texture without a sticky or tacky afterfeel, and it contains amazing powerhouse ingredients like niacinamide, B3, vegan peptides, and green microalgae, blue-green algae, aloe, and of course hyaluronic acid, which is going to visibly plump the skin and boost hydration. You can use the body serum morning and or night, and you can use it on its own, but I love to layer it under the Undaria Collagen Body Lotion if I'm using it during the day, or if I'm using it at night, I like to layer it under the Undaria Algae Body Oil. The other thing I love about this hyaluronic body serum is it's not just this like topical thing that you're putting on your skin and that's all it's doing. It's skincare for your body. It's going to improve your skin's natural moisture barrier for visibly smooth, toned, luminous, glowy skin. I've put a link to shop the hyaluronic body serum down in the show notes, and Osea has also given me a special discount code that I can share with you guys. That is ShaylaQ10, ShaylaQ10. Q and the number 10 for 10% off your order. Trust me, you are going to want to add in this body serum into your skincare routine, especially as summer is fast approaching. Thank you to my friends at Osea for supporting the show and sponsoring today's episode. Now let's get back into the episode.
And if you're not a yogi or you're not a yoga teacher, you might be a little confused and wondering what Shavasana is. Shavasana is the pose at the very end of a yoga class where you are laying flat on your back, most likely, completely relaxed, open palms, eyes gently closed. Shavasana is also known as corpse pose. And again, I think it's one of the most important and beneficial parts of a yoga practice. I like to look at corpse pose, that final pose that you take, as the death of the version of myself that I was when I walked into the class, right? Because hopefully throughout your practice on your mat, you are changing on a soul deep level through your breath and intentional movement. That's how I like to look at it anyway. And so Shavasana or corpse pose at the end is me closing that chapter, right? Ending that chapter. I'm ending this version of myself that I walked in with, and I am bookending it so that I can move through the rest of my day in a new elevated way. And typically to get out of Shavasana, a lot of teachers, myself included, will instruct students to move into the fetal position, which represents birth, new life. Right? So Shavasana is kind of that bookend to your spiritual practice. Even though yoga is a physical practice of the body and it's a mental practice because you're using your mind to focus on your breath, and it's mostly a breath practice because you're linking breath to movement, it is a spiritual practice when you involve all of those different aspects. Yoga isn't just a workout. It's not just a physical practice. Or I hope at least for you that it isn't. It definitely hasn't been and continues to not be for me. It's so much more than that for me, which is why bringing these elements like Shavasana and stillness and cueing the breath is so important, because it takes this practice to an entirely new level. And the reason why I think that Shavasana is such a beneficial and important part of a yoga practice is because, well, for many reasons. I think first, it offers deep relaxation, which some of us don't even tap into at all during our day or weeks, even when we're sleeping. You know, if you're a restless sleeper or dealing with anxiety or stress or internal chaos, sometimes even our sleep feels not relaxing. But Shavasana allows the body to completely relax. Maybe not when you first start practicing it, because I know it can be really uncomfortable to find stillness. It definitely was for me at the beginning of my practice. But with practice, Shavasana can allow you to completely relax, which is essential for releasing tension and stress. It gives your muscles the chance to unwind and your body a moment to decompress. And I think that it promotes a state of deep relaxation that can be rejuvenating for your mind and your body. Shavasana also allows your body and mind to integrate the benefits of the physical practice of yoga that you just completed. It's a time to let the effects of the poses and your breath settle in, and for your body to absorb the energy that you cultivated during your practice. I also think that Shavasana helps with reducing stress. The deep relaxation that you can experience in Shavasana, if you are truly in a state of surrender, triggers the parasympathetic nervous system, which helps counteract the effects of stress on the body. This can help you lower your cortisol levels, which cortisol is the stress hormone, and that in and of itself can provide a sense of calmness and well-being. Shavasana can also provide mental clarity because it gives you an opportunity to clear the mind of clutter and chatter and chaos. By focusing on the breath and letting go of thoughts, or maybe not even letting go of thoughts, but just allowing yourself to empty out your mind, melt into the mat and breathe, you can experience a sense of mental clarity and equanimity and inner peace. I also think that Shavasana encourages a deeper connection between the body and the mind, which yoga itself helps us foster that connection. But Shavasana gives you an opportunity to bring awareness to different parts of the body, which helps you develop a greater understanding of how your body feels and functions. It's also in Shavasana that the energy or prana that has been stimulated and circulated during your practice is able to integrate and settle into the body, which promotes balance and harmony. And I'll make this the last point, because I could go on and on and on about the benefits and importance of Shavasana, but Shavasana teaches the art of being present and surrender, the art of surrender. It's an opportunity to let go of the need to be doing and instead focus on simply being, which can be such a valuable skill both on and off the mat. I see Shavasana serving as a bridge between the active physical practice of yoga and the rest of your day. It offers a space of deep relaxation, inner reflection, and integration. And in the context of yoga philosophy and spirituality, Shavasana or corpse pose holds a really deep significance beyond its physical benefits. And I just kind of said this about surrender, but there's a symbolism of surrender, because Shavasana symbolizes the ultimate surrender. By lying completely still and letting go of tension and control, you are surrendering to the present moment and to the divine. This act of surrender is symbolic of releasing attachments and the ego, which are central themes in many, many, many spiritual traditions. I also just mentioned this, but the name corpse pose itself alludes to the idea of letting go of the physical body. And there are many different spiritual interpretations, but Shavasana represents a metaphorical death, right? Where practitioners let go of their identification with the physical body and connect with the eternal aspect of their being. This process of letting go can be seen as a preparation for spiritual transformation or rebirth. I also think that Shavasana reminds us of impermanence, which is something that I speak about a lot in many different ways on this podcast. Awareness of impermanence. There is an impermanent nature of life. And I think that the awareness around impermanence can inspire a deeper appreciation for the present moment and a sense of detachment from maybe things that don't matter so much. Integration of body, mind, and spirit happens in Shavasana too. I think I just said I was going to stop giving you reasons why Shavasana was so important, but I can't help it. I can't help it. I really just want to drive this point home because in Shavasana, the physical body, mind, and spirit come into alignment. Remember a few episodes ago, I said you were going to continuously hear me talk about alignment. Alignment. It is all about alignment. More to come on alignment in future episodes in my new program, but more on that later. By consciously relaxing the body and quieting the mind in Shavasana, you create a space for the integration of these aspects of the self, right? To come into alignment, your body, mind, and spirit. And this integration is essential for spiritual growth and self-realization. And I also think that Shavasana is a form of meditation in itself. By cultivating stillness, presence, and awareness during Shavasana, you are in a state of meditation. And this is why after an hour or however long of your physical practice of yoga you're doing of movement, yoga preps you for meditation. We sweat, we breathe, we move, we keep ourselves busy with our drishti, with our breath, with our vinyasa, with our stretching poses, back bending, arm balancing. We tire out the mind so that we can be still, so that we can find stillness. And the spiritual meaning of Shavasana transcends its physical form. I think it invites us to explore themes of union and togetherness, surrender, impermanence, and self-realization. It's an opportunity to step towards self-realization, spiritual awakening, which is why we as yoga teachers need to be creating enough space at the end of each yoga class for Shavasana. Not a 30-second Shavasana or a 1-minute Shavasana. I'm talking at least, this might be a little greedy, but I don't care, 5 minutes. It's really not that long. And I know that people who are trying to avoid stillness and stay distracted are going to be possibly annoyed by that, but the world needs more stillness. Again, it doesn't necessarily frustrate me when I go into class, but I feel disappointed because I know that the world would be a better place if more people practiced yoga. And I know the world would be a better, happier place. People would feel more balanced and well if they were tapping into stillness more and self-reflection and surrender and all of the many things that I just shared with you. And I think that we as yoga teachers have a duty to facilitate this. And again, I know that some people are going to be annoyed by this. I remember teaching and seeing people squirm on their mat. I did not find joy in watching that. I totally could empathize and understand. I remember myself, my first handful of yoga classes, laying on my back thinking, okay, this is weird. When is this going to be over? My leg itches. My feet are cold. What is that behind my back? What is that noise? What's going on? Are they going to wake us up yet? This is so random. This is very, very weird. I remember my mind, the monkey mind, just going wild. But with practice and consistency of allowing myself to be uncomfortable, sitting in that discomfort, and then finally learning how to surrender, I found peace. I found less struggle on and off the mat. I felt better, happier, and more free. And that is what I want for others, for the other people who are brave enough to come into yoga and get on their mat and practice, because it can be a really confronting practice if you are fully immersed in it. anyone can come in and move around distractedly and not care and not pay attention to their breath and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But it does take a lot of work, and it takes a lot of dedication and self-discipline and grace and gentleness to get on your mat and choose your breath, to redirect your mind, to push past your limits, to actively surrender. And surrender and stillness is a hard one for people. I get it, especially in this day and age of constant distraction and movement and hustle and grind. And I get it. But yoga teachers who are listening right now, please, for the love of all things good, we have to create more space for stillness at the end of class. I know I shouldn't should on you, but I'm doing that. Please, even as a student of yoga, it's such a bummer after all that work to not even have a moment to let it settle in. So I hope my yoga teachers that are listening, you take this to heart. Know that I'm saying this with peace and love, no judgment. But please, I'm going to invite you to create more space at the end of your classes for stillness. It might make some of your students uncomfortable, but you're doing this out of love. It's for the betterment of them. You must trust me when I say this. And for my yogis who are listening, if you are going to class and you're not getting enough time in Shavasana, maybe you can ask your teacher in a kind way. Again, no judgment. Maybe at the end of class, you go up and say, hey, I love your classes so much. I love coming. You're one of my favorite teachers. And I'm just noticing that there's not a whole lot of time in Shavasana at the end of the class. And I would really love an extra minute or two to let all of the work that I've done settle in. And I know this is your class that you're guiding, but I would love it if I could make a special request. Can we have a little more time in Shavasana? I know that if somebody came up to me after one of my classes and said that, I would be so more than happy to facilitate that. Because at the end of the day, we as yoga teachers, these classes that we are guiding our students through, it's not about us. It's about them. I know a lot of teachers want to come in with an agenda and their ego. They want validation. They want to show off. They want to be the expert. But it's not about us as teachers. We are there to share what we know. We are there to share it in a loving way. We're there to guide and facilitate a space for our students to connect with themselves, for our students to experience the benefits of yoga. And so I just can't see a good teacher taking that personally or in a bad way. I think if anything, I hope most teachers know the importance and power of Shavasana. And maybe some of us, I know I definitely worked at different studios that were not so focused on the spiritual aspects and more so focused on the physical workout aspects, to a point where I felt like maybe I couldn't bring in those spiritual aspects. You know what I mean? I felt like I have to put this emphasis on the fitness and the movement and the sweat and not so much the stillness and the yoga philosophy side of it. So maybe those teachers are looking for permission or requests from their students to have a little more time in stillness. And just like meditation, I get this feedback a lot about meditation of like, well, my mind is too active. I'm too all over the place. I can't sit still. I can't meditate. Well, that is all the more reason you should be sitting in stillness, my friend. You know, if you are uncomfortable in Shavasana, that is all the more reason for you to surrender and practice surrendering in Shavasana, you know? So teachers, give a proper Shavasana. Give ample time in Shavasana, please, please. If you're not, you're just cheating your students of truly experiencing the benefits. And my yogis listening, check in with your teachers kindly. Make a loving request for maybe another minute or two of stillness. All right, my loves, that is all for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. And I would love it if you would share this episode with a friend. If you haven't already, I would love for you to give the podcast a little review on Apple Podcasts. I love you so much, and I will catch you in next week's episode. And that's a wrap on another episode of the Yoga Inspired Life podcast. I hope you got something valuable from it and feel empowered to take inspired action.
Thank you so much for tuning in and spending time with me today. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I loved creating it, then please subscribe and leave a review. And if you know of anyone that would benefit from the podcast, I would love it if you would share it with them. I always say that we rise by lifting others, and this is a totally independent podcast, so every little bit of support truly means so much to me. If you're looking for more, let's connect on Instagram. You can find me at Shayla Quinn. I hope you have an amazing week. Thank you again for listening, and I'll catch you next week.